ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 26, text 2. Very important chapter, Samkhya. Jnanam nikshaya sarthaya purushasya darshanam yat ahur varnaye katte Jnanam nikshaya sarthaya purushasya darshanam yadahur varnaye tatte hridaya granthi vedanam jnanam knowledge nikshaya sarthaya for the ultimate perfection purushasya of a man atma darshanam self-realization yat which aho Varnaye, I shall explain. Tat, that. Te, to you. Hridaya, in the heart. Granti, the knots. Vedanam, cuts. Translation, knowledge is the ultimate perfection of self-realization. I shall explain that knowledge unto you by which the knots of attachment to the material world are cut. Report by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that by proper understanding of the pure self or by self-realization, one can be freed from material attachment. Knowledge leads one to attain the ultimate perfection of life. And to see oneself as he is, the Sri Tushvatara Upanishad 3.8 also confirms this. Tam eva vidipati mrityum eti. Or simply by understanding one's spiritual position or by seeing oneself as he is, one can be freed from material entanglement in various ways. The seeing of oneself is described in Vedic literatures and it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, that's this verse, purushasya atmadarshanam, that one has to see oneself and know what he is, as Kapila Dev explains to his mother. This seeing can be done by hearing from the proper authoritative source. Kapila Dev is the greatest authority because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if someone accepts whatever is explained as it is, that's in italics, as it is, without interpretation, then he can see himself. Second paragraph. Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami the real constitutional position of the individual. He said, directly that each and every individual soul is eternally a servitor of Krishna, Jivira Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas. Every individual soul is eternally a servitor. When one is fixed in the understanding that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul and that his eternal position is to serve in association with the Supreme Lord, he becomes self-realized. This position of rightly understanding oneself cuts the knot of material attraction. Again, hridaya granti vedanam. Due to false ego or false identification of oneself with the body and the material world, one is entrapped by maya. But as soon as one understands that he is qualitatively the same substance as the Supreme Lord, because he belongs to the same category of spirit, soul, and that his perpetual position is to serve when attains atmadarshanam and hridaya granti vedanam, self-realization. When one can cut the knot of attachment to the material world, his understanding is called knowledge. Atmadarshanam means to see oneself by knowledge. Therefore, when one is freed from the false ego by cultivation of real knowledge, he sees himself. And that is the ultimate necessity of human life. The soul is thus isolated from the entanglement of the 24 categories of material energy. Pursuit of the symbolic is the systematic philosophical process. Is called Sankhya and is called knowledge and self-realization. Jnanam nikshayas sarthaya purushas yatma darshanam yat ahur varnaye tatte hridaya granti vedanam. Knowledge is the ultimate perfection of self-realization. I shall explain that knowledge unto you by which the knots of attachment to the material world are cut. This is the very beginning of this 26th chapter. Kapila Dev is known primarily for his delivering Sankhya philosophy to his mother, and this is it. This chapter is it. So, in the beginning of the chapter, it's laying the groundwork, which later on will be filled in detail, like lots of detail. But what is this? as we go along in the chapter, because it becomes very detailed, it's easy to get lost in the detail and forget what's the purpose behind all of this, and this is the purpose behind all of this. It's coming right at the beginning of the chapter. Yesterday's verse, the first verse of the chapter, Lord Kapila has made another pronouncement to his mother. His pronouncement is that he is going to describe different categories of the Absolute Truth. Different categories of the Absolute Truth. It's identified in the purport. One could think Brahman Paramatman Bhagavan, but Prabhupada has explained, because what the chapter is about is the categories of his energies and his expansions. internal external potency and living entity marginal potency and his personal expansions and so on. And these are categories like jiva tattva and shakti tattva and so on. These are categories, subcategories of the absolute truth. They're all part of the absolute truth. Then this verse is describing what's the purpose behind making such a description of the different categories of the absolute truth. Yesterday's verse is that one can get release from the influence of the modes of material nature. This one is, it will bring ultimate perfection of self-realization. And then this Hridaya Granthi Vedanam. Vedana means cuts. Hridaya Granthi is the knot of the heart. Hridaya Granthi Vedanam. Just some appreciation of, as Jayadvaita Maharaj was describing, the verses in this chapter resonate with and reflect and expand upon verses from the first canto of the Bhagavatam. It's like verse that you read the other day, Etavan eva lokesmin punksam nikshaya sodaya tivrena, then chapter canto 2, tivrena bhakti yogena. So it's like an echo or a amplification of those basic first canto messages. And same here. In chapter 2 of the first canto, we find a summary of the topics of the Bhagavatam, specifically the process of bhakti, the stages, the unfolding stages of bhakti. It's like, you know, a botany class about the sprouting of a little seed into a the stages of development. And similarly, the seed of bhakti is given, and when properly cultivated, it grows. And one of the things that happens from when bhakti grows is causelessly knowledge and detachment awaken from within the heart. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Yadahaitukam. By devotional service, the awakening of bhakti, causelessly knowledge and detachment follow. And then he expands, Sutta Goswami expands on that understanding by describing the further effects, the influences of the modes of nature, which was mentioned in yesterday's verse, passion and ignorance gradually subside. Tado rajas tamo bhava kama lo bhadayasya cheta etaya nabhitam sitvam sate prasidati. By the process of bhakti, the influence of the modes of nature subside. That was yesterday's verse, and now this hridaya granthi vedanam. So the same idea, two verses later, the canto 1, chapter 2, text 21, says the same thing. Vidyante hridaya grantis. So the hridaya grantis is the same. Granti is not, the knot in the heart. Here is vedanam and there is vidyante. Vidyante is cut to pieces. Same thing. Different way of saying the same thing. And what is it that cuts? It's the sword of knowledge. And what is this sword of knowledge? It's what happens when one hears properly from the proper source. Then there's this innate knowledge within the living entity that awakens, and when that awakens, it breaks the hard knot. Something like, you know, a seed may have a shell around the seed to preserve and protect it. But when the seed starts to germinate, the shell is broken, falls away. Something like that. The covering of the living entity is ignorance. Prabhupada said so many times. The root cause of suffering is ignorance. Gee, I didn't know that. That's why I'm suffering. And specifically, ignorance means ignorance of oneself and of the Supreme, because the self is part of the Supreme. Ignorance of who I really am. And come to think of it, it makes sense. If we don't know who we are and we're trying to bring happiness, we're trying to bring happiness to some sense of who we are that we aren't. Like, you know, Prabhupada's example of trying to put food in your ear. Well, you won't get nourishment. You'll probably get an ear problem. Because it doesn't go in the ear. So, et cetera. We may look to feed our well-being in ways that don't even match up with who we are. And so we suffer. And suffering is a covering, in the form of a covering. But still then with that covering, we still want to enjoy and be happy, and so we look for so many ways of happiness, and it's lifetime after lifetime. And even that's true, Maya is so strong we don't even recognize it. And Maya is so strong, even when it's pointed out, we can't see it. And even when we can, like, theoretically understand it, we're still accepting the covering to be our real identity. It's Maya is very strong. The covering is very strong. Very strong. So, in this verse, Jnana Nikshaya Sarataya, Kapila is saying, I want to give to you that means by which the covering can be removed. That force of Maya. And that force of Maya has its different features, previously mentioned, the feature of the modes of nature impelling us into action, and false ego, misidentification with that pushing of the mode of nature. Like, I'm hungry, or I'm angry, or I'm tired, or etc. In terms of the pushing of the modes of nature. And we identify with that. Or, in the second half of this first canto verse, is the hard knot, specifically is the false ego. But the false ego then ties one into fruitive activity. Kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. The chain of fruitive action is terminated when one sees the self as master, which is what Prabhupada is saying essentially in six different ways in the purport. That real knowledge, I'll repeat what he said. Atmadarshan means to see oneself by knowledge. so it's not just theoretical. Real knowledge means to see oneself. This, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita also, right? In the 9th chapter. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. Pratyaksha means direct perception. Pratyaksha is usually spoken of in terms of the various ways that we can try to verify things or systems of knowing something, the means of knowing something. So by direct sense perception, by reason, or by shabda. So this is connected by spiritual sound vibration. This is taking spiritual sound vibration and connecting it with pratyaksha, but not the material eyes seeing, but seeing through scripture. Shastra chakshus. So this is what Prabhupada is describing here. Self-realization means to see oneself in one's proper position, and thus the attraction or the attachment for what we aren't, the material attraction, is cut. When that's self-realization, but that's also what real knowledge is. And that's what Kapila wants to get. Say it one more time. This is distinct from theoretical. Say it backwards, or by negation. Knowledge that is not applied remains theoretical, and that's not what Kapila wants to give. He wants to give that knowledge which is applied, and when applied, illusion is relieved, real self can be perceived, and the natural happiness and well-being of the soul is restored. Something like polishing a diamond. We have a diamond that's covered by mud and so many other things. It doesn't sparkle. You remove the mud and so many things, and its natural luster is there. For the soul, each of us has an inherent quality that's covered. Another point mentioned specifically in the purport is that seeing is done by hearing. The seeing that's being spoken of is by hearing. Something like seeing with your ears. Now normally we don't see with our ears, we see with our eyes. But if we hear properly, then our seeing becomes adjusted. Here's a very nice example that, very practical, that Prabhupada gave about seeing through scripture or through the instructions of the spiritual master, specifically what Prabhupada said. The example of eyeglasses. So, my eyes are in my head and the seeing is going on, but it's blurry. And so, with proper prescription of corrective lenses, then the seeing is still going on, but the seeing is corrected. I can see correctly. It's still direct. It's not someone else is seeing for me or telling me this is what you see. The seeing is direct, but the seeing is through a transparent medium. So seeing through lenses, or in the case of spiritual understanding, seeing through the spiritual master's instructions, or seeing through Krishna's teachings, seeing things as Krishna sees. That's what reading Bhagavad Gita permits. We can't become Krishna. That promise isn't made. But we can see as Krishna sees. To see as Krishna sees doesn't mean we get inside Krishna's head and look out. But Krishna sees, and Krishna describes what he sees, and we see through that description, and we can see as Krishna sees. Because qualitatively, we're of the same spiritual nature as Krishna. That's mentioned in the purport as well. Because he belongs to the same category of spirit soul, that's the individual and the supreme, as soon as one understands that one is qualitatively the same as the Supreme Lord, detachment follows from that which we aren't. Stated the opposite way, the covering of the illusory energy prevents one from seeing our relationship with Krishna, our spiritual identity, Krishna's spiritual identity, our spiritual relationship with Krishna. The covering prevents us from seeing that. Instead, we see covering. We see configurations of matter. We busy ourselves fruitively, like anything, trying to make that a nice place. And happiness is all determined by that misidentification of the soul with matter, or self with matter. Self, so one more time, self-realization is cutting that knot, misidentification knot, the knot of happiness, expecting happiness in terms of what the configuration of matter is. And unhappiness is, oh, it's not the configuration I like. And identifying with that illusion. So that's the not false ego. We'll go fast forward towards the end of the chapter. And one of the things is this chapter that's going to be described is the unfolding of the elements from Pradhan. What's Pradhan? It's the totality of matter undifferentiated. It's that Pradhan that Mahavishnu glances over, and upon contact of his glance with Pradhan, it starts to differentiate. The first element that separates out is false ego. And then false ego in contact with the various modes of nature makes the rest. False ego in goodness, false ego in passion, false ego in contact with ignorance manifests the rest of the 24 elements. None of which is the living entity. But the first one, the prime mover here, is false ego. That's the knot that ties the living entity to the details of matter and its various configurations and the expectations of happiness through that. Cut is the message. It's not who we are. That's what Sankhya is. It's analyzing matter, but distinguishing matter from spirit and saying, spirit is not that, it is this. And that's the kind of knowledge Kapila Dev is going to give to Devahuti, so that the modes of nature can subside, the influence of fruitive tendency, or tendency for fruitive activity upon a living being, is cut. False ego is cut. Self-realization can be restored. and the full happiness of the soul. That's what he wants for his mother. Atma darshanam. Darshanam means to see, like darshan, to see. Atma darshan, seeing the soul. Seeing the soul means through sound, through the ears, seeing through the ears. Not just literally like I point my ear to the deity, now I can see the deity. Not that seeing through the ears. Seeing through the corrective lens of spiritual understanding, then one can see Krishna. One can see the self. And essential is detachment. A couple more points. The position of rightly understanding oneself cuts the knot of material attraction. Statement in the purport. It's interesting, I find it very interesting, that here's the son speaking to his mother about cutting material attachment. I mean, like they're family members from one sense of what's going on. But certainly a higher sense of what's going on is this is the personality of Godhead who has appeared as her son telling her how to cut the attachment. And she knows that she has it. She's explicitly said, my husband's gone. You're here to take care of me, but I know your program. You're also going to be gone. And before you go, set me up so that, you know, I can handle things without you. And so he's preparing her for that by self-realization, so that there's no entanglement in material affinity. So her happiness, her constitutional happiness, can be excavated, restored. And that's what the Supreme Lord wants for all of us. So that's what this chapter is preparing. There's going to be lots of detail. Please bear in mind what the purpose of the detail is. Keep the big picture in mind so that we can not identify with that which we are not and directly see the soul. And thus become self-realized and happy. Okay. Any comments or questions? That's what the chapter is about. You want to know what they are? The list? Okay. That's what you're asking? Okay. We'll go this way. One, false ego. Mind. Intelligence, that's three. False ego. So false ego in contact with goodness generates the mind. False ego in contact with passion generates material intelligence. False ego in contact with ignorance generates the five gross material elements, which in turn manifest the 10 knowledge acquiring and 10 working in five and five. Five knowledge acquiring, five working senses. And then the five objects of the senses. So five and five and five is 15. And mind and intelligence and false ego, that's 18. We're missing something. There's another five.
Five senses, five objects
of the senses. five working senses and five gross elements. There's 20 plus 3. So that makes 23. And then the 24th is Cheta. And Cheta is translated in different ways in this chapter, in the same chapter. Sometimes it's translated as contaminated consciousness. Sometimes it's translated as the total material substance, you know, like the big warehouse that keeps everything, the balance of all material elements. Chaitanya is the 24th element. Okay. Two things. Light is stronger than darkness. So, and similarly, spiritual knowledge is stronger than false ego. But you have to combine that with the willingness. There's a free will event that is willingly to receive. Just like it can be daylight, but somebody can lock themselves in a dark room and they're not exposed to the daylight. Similarly, one can be in the presence even of spiritual sound vibration and turn it off by, you know, free will just blocking it out. But if the free will choice is, I want light, I want spiritual knowledge, the false ego may still be operative, but it will gradually deplete. Because light is stronger than darkness and spiritual knowledge is stronger than false ego. It will dissolve false ego. Gradually. So there has to be a sustained hearing and a sustained willing to receive. Choose it. And be in the association of, choose the association of those that have that willingness. Make circumstances favorable. That's part of the surrendering process. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya arjanam. Accept those things that will assist that willingness to become more prominent and state and eliminate, dismiss those things that interfere with it. And the other favorable items for surrender. Can't means won't. cannot means I choose not. Because light is stronger than darkness. So there may be, one may be very unfortunate by circumstance having, really heavy modes of nature. Heavy modes of nature. Still, Krishna is stronger. Krishna is the controller of those modes of nature. He can say, back off. Just like that. It's done. So, cannot means will not. And can is not my doing, but it's Krishna's recognizing a strong desire. Krishna changes the circumstance or the influence of the modes. So someone who is in that situation can understand the responsibility lies with them. It's not the circumstance. It's not like, there's nothing I can do. Abdication of responsibility is not a choice. Or not, it's not imperative that one just shrugs your shoulders and says, there's nothing I can do. If one finds oneself in that position where I'm trying and the modes of nature don't let up. What am I to do now? And what one is to do is to persist with that volition and calling for Krishna's help or Krishna's intervention, calling upon Krishna to enter with his internal potency and transform that and continue to invoke mercy, descending mercy. That's what one is to do. Guaranteed. Krishna may not touch the whole thing with his magic wand and it's all suddenly different. The whole thing totally different. But Krishna will shift things in such a way that one will recognize it's not me, it's Krishna. Guaranteed. Krishna will do that. One is, tuned into the Krishna channel, one will see that happening. And then step by step. Krishna is not ungrateful. And Krishna is not mean and cruel. Oh, you were bad, so you have to suffer more. I don't like you. That's not Krishna. Reciprocation will be there when sincere effort is extended in a mode of depending upon Krishna. Krishna will reciprocate. Anything else?